Welcome to the I Am Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use offer code FUN. Welcome to the I Am Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I'm worried about us getting complacent.
Yeah, we're high off that championship run that we did not have.
Yeah, for just to keep me motivated, I framed a picture of, of my resume, just to remind me, how unqualified I am for just about anything else in this world.
You and I would be like the Bucks getting complacent.
It's funny, is like when people find this out, I worked for the Raiders for a year, and they're like, "Oh my god, that's so interesting!" I'm like, it really wasn't. I can't stress enough how little I had to do with football. It was all like retail merchandising stuff. Like it was not interesting at all.
So you gotta stress that though. You could be like, yeah, but one day, you know, what, Russell, Jamarcus Russell came in one day and tried on a triple XL dress. So.
I wish it had been him. It was the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Bucks. So maybe I should have like taken credit for Rich Gannon's season or something like that.
My most interesting job I think I've ever had was in college when I worked at the movie rental store.
Is this the same one that rented out furniture?
No, surprisingly, okay. This is college. So I worked at a movie gallery and in my college town, and so there are stories I cannot share other than to say that certain coaches came in during this time period and rented things that would be of interest to people.
Sure.
Nothing bad, just things that would be of interest to people. But also just seeing people's behavior in rental stores and also seeing what they would rent was always really fascinating to me.
Right. Like you had
the behavior of men that would come in to rent porn back in the days when you had to rent porn from video stores because you couldn't just get it online.
Right.
Just that the behavior of those individuals was always very funny, the way they would just like drift back and like, oh, I'm just looking at the dramas.
Oh, what does this saloon door lead to?
What is this section? What is this door?
It's got red lights. I should go in it.
And whenever those videos would come in and the employees would have to wrap them in cellophane, the boxes, like you have to wrap all of them, just that – like you can only take two ways to do that. You can either – try and be very quiet and sneaky about it as to not broadcast this fact, or you can do what I did, which was just to be as brazen about it as possible, and like I did everything short of making a little song about it.
I'm trying to think of what the most I worked in, I worked for a court of appeals, and that was interesting just because I learned a lot about the law, but like my day-to-day stuff, it was like 1 week a month there were court hearings for the appellate cases. And so, like, that part was interesting for that week, but the rest of it was just, like, clerical mailroom work. Like, it was just really dull. And so, like, that might be my most interesting one just because of the court week each month. Or, like, the one I still have the most knowledge of is I worked for, I did retail for Oakley Sunglasses. Like, they opened up their own store, chain of stores, and you see them in, like, most major cities now, and so I learned a lot about sunglass technology that you would never like really think of. So like I have this brain full of all this useless information about like how sunglasses, how they work, how different companies make things. Like for some reason I've retained all of this. Like I couldn't remember anything important having to do with my day-to-day life, but I've got all this information on sunglasses and technology and what's good and what isn't and what companies are actually good for you and what companies aren't. So I guess like I learned the most out of that, but really like the fact that these are my two most interesting jobs just tell you I can't get fired from this job.
I can't go back. I ran, most people who follow me on Twitter know this, I ran poker games in Austin, Texas for several years. That's a close second just because of the amount of nefarious illegal things I've witnessed. Just really crazy stuff that I have seen. Like, I went to a card game one night, and guy was like, "Hey, you want to make some extra money by dealing at a house game?" And I said, "Sure." And like, the dude had a shotgun on his wall, loaded. And that was when I was like, "I need to go home now." So yeah, weird things. I think NBA players miss out on that. Like, I think NBA players, because of their job and the fact that they make millions of dollars when they're 18 and have this wonderful life where they get to pretty much travel and have fun and make millions of dollars playing a game that they love, they miss out on the joy of having a job that's usually terrible but very interesting and weird.
Right. I bet that's a big regret for them.
And like, coaches are to me a little bit more interesting. Like, Popovich is one of the most interesting coaches out there to me. And that very few people know like his background story, and I always kind of like want to shout about it. I'm like, do you guys realize like he has a degree in Soviet studies from the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs? Like, that's his degree, was Soviet studies.
I like to tell people that the movie Behind Enemy Lines is a biography of him.
Prove it's not. Like, it's crazy because there's also this period in which like if you try and track down any sort of information about him, it's just like, nope. Like, he's just off the radar, and there's times when it's like, oh, he was traveling with, like, the overseas with, like, a basketball program. And I'm like, uh-huh, okay, sure. Like,
this is a much better segue than what I was going to do.
what was the segue you were going to use?
Well, because you said, like, oh, this guy had a loaded shotgun on his wall. And I was just going to say, you know who else had a blast last year? But I'm glad you brought Popovich up, because there's some news about him, which our news and notes segment is brought to you by Squarespace.
And yeah, so Buck Harvey in the San Antonio Express News, one of the three individuals that have a good relationship with Popovich in the entire city, despite how long he's been there.
Sure.
Has a great feature on him, talks about it. And in the outside of his office at the practice facility last year, for the entire year, he had up a photograph of the scoreboard from Game 6 in 2013 Finals when the Spurs were up 13. Not when that – I find it amazing, because when I first read, like, oh, he's got a picture up, I was like, that's really interesting. Like, it's got to be, like, the Ray Allen shot or the Duncan miss. Like, wouldn't that have been meaner, though, to have, like, the Duncan miss? Like, I kind of wish he'd done that than, like – just think about it, Tim.
And he just, like, draws a dunce cap over Tim Duncan's –
he's got like Jordan White photoshops up everywhere.
He had
when they were up 13, which it's hard to remember, but they had a substantial lead in that game.
Yeah, I love that story. I love that story too, because one, like, Buck Harvey does a great job of like setting it up, but two, like, I've always had this thing where fans like, oh, we got screwed in the last minute of the game, and I've always tried to keep this perspective of that may be true, but if you play better up until that point, which is fully within your control, like, you don't put yourself in that situation. So, I'm just a big believer in remembering, like, the entire 48 minutes really matter, and that is where the game is so important. It's the entire thing, not just the last 2 minutes. And I love that story, because it's like, I had forgotten they were up big in that game. Like, 13 points in a finals game, like, that's a big lead, and it was in the second half, and they blew it, and all I've thought about is the Ray Allen shot and, you know, Chris Bosh's rebound, the Ray Allen shot, the overtime stuff. Like, that's all I've ever thought about. I completely erased that from my memory. So when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, they were doing really well in that game.
I remembered it because I remember we were all pre-writing the Duncan stuff at halftime.
Right.
Like, Duncan had that massive half, and everyone jumped on it. We're all like, yep, here we go. Like, and it was funny watching Press Row, because Press Row was essentially like, well, don't have to worry about this. Like this game's narrative is completely taken care of, because we'll just write about Duncan. Not so much.
No.
And so, like, he has that outside. It's also, like, it's cruel, but it's cruel in the teaching moment way, which is, I think, is very Popovich. Like, I'm going to make you stare at this, and I'm going to stare at this, and it's going to make your blood boil, but... like, not just we failed, but we had this. We were there. We had this, and we could have won this. Because there are legitimately a great number of people in and outside of San Antonio that believe that the Spurs were the better team and simply happened to lose.
Right.
Like, that's the big contention, is that the Spurs were the better team last year and the year before, and they would have won had it not been for one fluke rebound.
Yeah, to bolster your point about Duncan's first half, I just looked it up. He had 25 points on 11 of 13 shooting in the first half. Like, just
yeah, no, with like Like, this is going to be it. This is going to be the story, yeah, is, like, Duncan does it. Like,
and finished with 30. He only scored 5 points the rest of the game, and they went to overtime. Like, that's kind of incredible.
Because he got tired.
Right.
Turns out, when you're 35 years old, scoring 25 points the first half gets a little exhausted.
That'll take it out of you.
Yeah, it's like taking your granddad for a walk.
Right, or yourself, for some of us.
Yeah, really, at this point, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's a real interesting story. The stuff about him being worried about them being complacent, I think, is a legitimate concern.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the reason it's so hard. Like, it's so hard to repeat in professional sports just in general because, one, it's hard enough to get to that first championship. And then to have that, in, you know, that incredible focus, break through the mental exhaustion, break through people, you know, having a target on your back, bringing their best effort because you're the champs, they want to knock you down. Like, it's such an ultra competitive situation, and to add a second run at a championship. I mean, the Spurs, as great as they are, have never made back to back finals until that 2013-2014 run, and that's in a 15-year period. And you know, they've never made a finals after winning a championship. Like, this is their first chance to do that since 2008, after they won 2007. Like, it just shows you, like, the Spurs have been an institution for 15 years in terms of basketball. They've created some of the most incredible basketball we've seen, and yet, you know, they couldn't do what the Lakers did. They couldn't do what the Heat did, you know, a couple years ago. Like, this is a hard thing to do.
It's also interesting to me, the Spurs team last year was, I really do believe, it's one of the best teams ever. Like, I think the Heat team from 2013 qualifies as one of the best teams ever. I know people that will balk at that because of some of their struggles, but you got to remember that team won 27 games in a row.
Yeah, that's like, ridiculous.
They won 27 games in a row, won the NBA title, you know, had one of the best collections of talent. That was a legitimately amazing team.
Yeah.
Last year's Spurs team, similarly, and apps a really terrifically great team. At the same time, I asked this question after game 4. I actually did a post on it. I just looked it up. Published on June 14th after game 4, I asked the Spurs in the finals last year, I was like, how do you guys play better? How can you play any better than this? And Danny Green was like, yeah, you know, you can obviously, you can always play better. And I was like, how? And he paused and he was like, make more shots. And I looked at him, he's like, make every shot. Like, he's trying to give me like a trite answer. And I asked Thiago Splitter the same thing, and he was like, I guess maybe if we make all the shots. Like, that was the only way they could have played better last year. So it's important to remember that while the Spurs kicked the Heat's ass, and the Heat really, I think, that to me was the big difference between 2013 and 2014, was that the Heat were worse. The Spurs played as close to perfect as you can, and the Heat got worse.
Yeah.
There is a question in my mind of, can the Spurs get, like, can anyone get back to that level? Can you really get there again? Because I don't know that you're going to be able to. It's really hard to hit that groove that they found.
Right. I mean, that was a historic groove. Like, I don't think anyone's had that kind of success in a postseason in terms of, like, that many blowout victories. I could be making that up, but I know it was, like, it was on the border of that. So I'm just assuming the way they finished off, that was the case. That's the crazy thing is, though, they may not need to get back to that level to win the title. Like, is there going to be a team as good as what we thought the Heat were, at least the Heat were coming off those back-to-back titles, in terms of, you know, would they have to play the same level to take care of the Cavs? Probably not. What about the Bulls? Like, the Bulls don't have the offense that the Spurs have, and, you know, then they both have incredible execution, so maybe that wouldn't even be the case. Like, I kind of feel like, at least for me, I'm, you know, we can get into predictions next month, but, like, I'm leaning towards, like, I don't see how the Spurs lose.
Right.
Just because, like, I don't think they have to get back to what they showed us in 3, 4, and 5 to win another title, because that was another level of basketball that really, even now, like, I think back on it, I'm like, that happened. Like, that, like, it was, I've never seen basketball like that before in terms of the modern era and how teams play and what what we know about basketball or what we think we know about basketball and the level they executed. Like, they were just a buzzsaw.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by this question because it starts kind of with the Rockets, but there's a lot of teams that I'm wondering about, is how you get better without getting better talent. And it's not that that's hard. It's that actually happens often.
Yeah.
I think that, and this is one thing that kind of really gets lost with San Antonio, is yes, Kawhi Leonard really is special, but Kawhi Leonard is also, he's a really great athlete and player that fits them perfectly, which is why they traded George Hill to draft him. At the same time, you know, Danny Green, not an elite player that they molded into a really good part of what they do.
Right.
Boris Diaw, honestly, really was a train wreck when he arrived in San Antonio, and they molded him back into – they used his talents in the right way. He's very gifted. There's no denying that. But you also can't deny he was a train wreck that they molded.
Right. And I wonder, just as a side tangent, like I've always wondered about, like, I think he was just bored in Charlotte.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he was. It was just like how could you get up for that when you're as talented and you're as much of a basketball savant as he is? Like,
but that also followed him. That was him in Atlanta.
Like, sure. Yeah. He needed someone to capture his attention, and the Spurs did that.
He can only operate in those specific instances. He's kind of like Tim Thomas if you extrapolated it over a multi-year career.
Right.
Like, Tim Thomas was exceptionally gifted. He just never put it together except for that one season in Phoenix.
Right.
But I'm wondering about teams like Oklahoma City's one that I keep coming back to, because there is this idea that, well, they didn't get better, right? Like, Thabo's gone. They lost a guy, and they didn't really add. They added Morrow, who's a shooter, and that's good. But you don't know how he's going to fit, and he's always had trouble getting on the floor. Like, Oklahoma City didn't make the move Chicago did, bringing in Pau Gasol. They didn't make the move that, you know, Cleveland did, get LeBron James. Like, they didn't make the big splashy addition. But on the other hand, I'm like, Andre Roberson did have moments last year where I legitimately thought he looked good. What if he gets better? What if Jeremy Lamb gets better? Like, these guys, it's right to be skeptical of young guys, but it's also right to remember that more time in a system makes you better. And we've seen that consistently, that continuity matters a great deal. Like, what if Toronto, with the fact that now they're like, we know how to play now. We actually know how to play. And they're going to have that core that they got after the Vasquez-Patterson trade, which, that's crazy that I just said that instead of the Rudy Gay trade. like, they have a core now. Like, they can improve. But with the Spurs, I'm like, you know, they're going to be back. I think I'm probably still going to pick them to win the title, because now that LeBron's in Cleveland, I still have all the questions about experience, youth, and unfamiliarity with them. And with Chicago, I have the questions about Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, health, and whether, and, you know, you've made some really good points and turned me a little bit around on Thibodeau and reminded me of how good his offense can be. I'm still skeptical with what they have in place. I got to see it first.
Yeah, certainly.
And that makes me lean towards, what do I know? And it's like, well, I know San Antonio is good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and I think, like, it, San Antonio just seems like that perfect, concept of basketball in today's game, and they embody that. But, like, I don't want to take away, like, I can see the Thunder winning the championship.
Or the Clippers.
I can see the Clippers winning the championship. Any team after that, like, I don't believe in Kevin McHale enough to really, like, convince myself that the Rockets could. But, like, there are teams where you can say, like, they could take down the Spurs. Like, the Spurs were just that good, and, you know, they may not need to get to that level next year to reach the finals, but, you know, or to win the finals, but they may need it to reach it, if that makes sense. Like, they need to play that way against Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City had their number for a reason, and I still believe that those advantages exist, and I believe Oklahoma City can capitalize that and win a series against them. It's just, you want to see what adjustment they make, because Ibaka was hurt and Westbrook had an inconsistent year health wise, and so, like, all that stuff adds up, and they need, you know, they need better play out of their role players, but there is something where, like, that team was good enough to be in the finals the last couple of years, and they just weren't.
Yeah.
And that's something important to remember, too, is, like, not making the finals isn't always an indictment. Sometimes it just happens.
Well, everyone talks about San Antonio, and they're like, oh, they had such a tough run because of that 7-game series with the Mavericks. I'm like, did you guys watch that Mavericks team the entire year? Like,
that was, like, coaching. Rick Carlisle.
Like, they had to face Rick Carlisle. Let's be very clear on this. They had not even Dirk. Like, Dirk was kind of a non-factor because they schemed him well. Like,
right. They
had to face Rick Carlisle. And the Mavericks are much better this year, and they're going to be, I think, a better test. But San Antonio also, they just had to kind of – like, they had a down series, and they had to figure things out. But after that happened, they got Portland, which was, like, the single team that it was like – wow, what a break. Like, just what a break to get them. Like, didn't get Golden State, didn't even get Houston with Dwight Howard. That's a problem for them, and James Harden is – like, Portland knocking off Houston, nobody benefited from that. more than San Antonio, not even Portland. Because, like,
yeah, and that's not to take away from Portland, but it's just like that little experience as a unit together against that much experience with a better coach and a better system and all that. Yeah, that's just that's how you take your lumps as Portland, right?
And then there's obviously the Ibaka injury, which, you know, like, you go back and forth on it. And I do genuinely believe that by the time the San Antonio hit the Western Conference Finals, like, they were so primed on not losing to the people that had beaten them in years prior. I just, like, San Antonio was locked in on the mental level that, and then OKC was tired, banged up, and didn't have, like, not just Ibaka. Like, Westbrook had knee issues the entire year. I think Durant was just exhausted. Like, and part of it, like, Durant was exhausted. Memphis beat the crap out of him. Yeah. Like, they really made it hard.
They really did.
And Memphis, like, San Antonio wiped out Memphis in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, and you've got no reason to believe that San Antonio wouldn't beat Memphis again. But there's also – it's not hard to imagine a scenario in which Memphis would drag San Antonio to seven games as well, because Memphis's offense has improved since the last time that they faced, and they're a little bit different. Not dramatically, but they're a little bit different.
And they're just a pain in the ass to face. Like,
they're
you look
pain
at,
in the ass.
Yeah, you
they're
look at any playoff series they play, like, whether you think they're going to – they have a real chance of winning or not, you know they're going to be a pain to play. And that matters. Like, that can wear on a team.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can change. Now, that said, like you said, I think you and I are both in agreement that we think San Antonio's got to be the favorite to win the title. Like, I just cannot believe these title odds that have the Cavs favored over San Antonio. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's just
kind of I don't care how much the action is. Like, that should not occur.
And I think that's one thing. It's like, and I really do try to, like, not degrade, like, the rest of the competition around them. It's that thing that we say so often with so many things in basketball of, like, I got to see a team knock them off before I believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I believe it can happen, but I got to see it.
The other thing about that Pop column I thought was really interesting was the fact that it said about what he's going to focus on, like, what he's going to use, and it mentioned game two from the finals. And he was like, that was the one in which we took more contested shots than they did.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking this morning. I'm like, what if the air conditioner doesn't go out? Like, it reminded me that the Heat won game two. Like, if the air conditioner doesn't go out, San Antonio might still win. And San Antonio, I hear you in terms of they both had to play in it. It's not an excuse, yada, yada, yada. The best player in the world cramped up, couldn't play. Like, that's a bigger deal than Tony Parker's sweating. Like, it just is. and so, like, this is a hypothetical. I'm not assuming they would have won. I'm saying it's possible that LeBron doesn't cramp up. He leads the comeback. They win game one. They win. And now them winning game one would have changed the complexion of game two, because San Antonio would have been like, we cannot lose game two.
Right.
But then theoretically, it's like, well, they did win game two. So if they won those first two games, what happens when that goes back to Miami? Like, it just gets crazy then. Like, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
you never know how someone's mentality is going to click. Like, theirs clicked in the right way, and they were. And Pop even has that line about, like, oh, do they all have lobotomies? Like, what happened to them? You know, like, because it was so perfect. But you never know. Like, maybe that changed. Maybe even Tim Duncan is like, oh God, here we go. You know?
Yeah. So it's a fascinating kind of what if, which I like to think about, and some people hate because they just don't like possibilities. But another possibility is that Taj Gibson could be a little upset about having to come off the bench.
I think we agree in theory. If you're that Bulls team, you probably for the first few years start Carlos Boozer over him, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you finish the game. It doesn't mean he's better necessarily. It's just like, maybe that's a better way to start out games. If you're Taj Gibson, I could understand, like, they don't trust this guy in the fourth quarter. They trust me. Why am I not starting? And then Boozer's out of there. They amnesty him. And then it's like, well, okay, now they're bringing in an older guy who doesn't have a great defensive reputation anymore. And now I gotta come off the bench behind this guy too. Like, I get it. I don't think it should upset him to the point of where, like, he's sour about it necessarily. But I could understand the frustration of, like, you're Taj Gibson. You don't have... Not that he's at the end of his career, but you don't have that many years left, right? Like, especially at the level he's playing. Like, he is one of those, you know, kind of older than you think type of players. And like, I could, you know, to some guys it matters whether you start the game or not. And I could see, like, him being like, hey, I've worked my ass off. I'm at a point, you know, where I'm considered for Defensive Player of the Year. Why am I not starting?
He's 29 this year. He was drafted when he was 24, which basically makes him the Chris Winkie of the NBA. I think with him, and this is a reasonable point, the idea is, well, we started Boozer because we need the offense, right? The issue there is that Boozer averaged 13.7 points per game last year. Gibson averaged 13.0 points per game last year.
Right.
And did so in only slightly more minutes. And Taj is kind of like, I guess it was like in the beginning. Part of it, I think, really is that Gibson has been such a good soldier for them. And I've actually kind of hammered him on this. Like, Taj is way too good of a guy for them. And it shows here because this report came out of CSN Chicago about him being unhappy. And I will tell you the length to which this will go. This is it. On media day, he's going to show up and say, I don't know where that came from. I'm going to do whatever. We just want to be part of a team. Like, he's going to do it. Like, all he did was leak this information to a reporter that he trusts, make it known to the organization. They'll make him feel better about it, and they'll move on. Like, he won't make this a thing. He took less money to stay with this Bulls team, which when he took that money, I was like, you could have gotten so much more.
Yeah.
Like, he took such a discount, and it's rare that I'm like, pass up on the winning opportunity. But I was like, you only have like so many years because you're like 45 years old. Like, you must go get the money. And he's still got, you know, he's got 2 years left at 8.5 and 8.9 million before it expires in 2017. So he's going to be what, 30? He's going to be 31 when that expires. He's not 7 feet tall.
Right.
He's not a massive guy. He's not an elite scorer. He's just a component hitting 31 years old. Like, Taj could have made so much more money, and now he's being also deprived of like the one thing, which is like the respect factor. You know, and it's great that he was put in and finished games, and I'll bet you that's going to happen this year because I'm betting you're not going to want Pau Gasol on the floor for key defensive possessions in the fourth quarter. But I can understand it because if he's like, look, it's not like I don't score at all. I'm not Kendrick Perkins. Like, I have a hook shot. I have an inside game. I have a little mid-range jumper. Like, he has an offensive game. He's not just a defensive presence, and he's a great defender. At the same time, if you're Chicago, your whole problem was offense. So I understand you being like, look, we're getting Derek back. We need somebody to take the pressure off. Pau Gasol's out there. It's a veteran. He can score. Yes. Like, it makes sense.
You know what else makes sense? Squarespace.com.
It does make a lot of sense.
I just want to remind you and the listeners that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Thanks to their constantly improving platform with new features, new designs, even better support. Matt, what would you guess their availability for customer services?
Oh, let's see. Based off of my experience with most customer service in this country, from like 5 p.m. to 6 p.m.?
And that's probably like on a Saturday, right?
On a Saturday.
Yeah, when it's least convenient for you. Not with Squarespace. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I believe 7 days a week covers 365 days a year.
Wow.
It's rare that you have 7 days a week and you don't hit every single day in a year. But that's
double rainbow.
Double rainbow. And here's another double rainbow for you with Squarespace. The value is ridiculous. It's $8 a month, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And like, who doesn't? Like, I signed up for a cell phone that I don't even really like for 2 years just so I can get a discount on the phone. It's not like they're giving me the phone for free. They're giving you the domain for free. And you're signing up for just a year. That seems like a steal to me.
That's less than 1% of what I pay for breaks today.
Exactly. You should get Squarespace to do some break work for you.
I should.
Because it would look good on your phone. It would look good on your tablet. Because every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. So no matter what you looked at your breaks on, it would look great.
Do our listeners get some sort of discount?
You know what? I believe they do. If you start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today using the offer code FUN, that's F-U-N, you're going to get 10% off, and you get to show your support for the Ion Basketball Podcast. And we thank them for their support of the Ion Basketball Podcast because Squarespace is everything you need to create an exceptional website.
Much like Taj Gibson is all you need to create a plus minus in the fourth quarter that is exceptional. They're going to – I'll tell you this. Gibson's going to end up starting, I bet. For some games, simply because of the games that Powell's going to have to miss.
Yeah, that's true. And another element to Taj's frustration is, like, the knock on him was he couldn't score, right? And he couldn't shoot at all. Like, 2011, 2012, 31% from 16 to 23 feet. 2012, 2013, 29.9%. Like, he couldn't hit a jumper, but last year he improved to 39.7% from that range. Like, he did the work. He improved on what he needed to improve on and still can't get the starting nod. But I agree with you. I think it's going to get to media day. Somebody will ask him about it. It'll be, what? Well, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know how that got out there. And it'll be over.
Taj Gibson, what must I do? You want to talk nicknames?
Let's talk nicknames.
This is something that comes up pretty often in that people will send me nicknames or we'll talk about nicknames and I love them. And then they'll be like, hey, Zach, what do you think? And you bring the cold hammer of doom upon them. Not a fan of nicknames, are you?
It's so rare that I feel we need one. And like, I'm a fan of puns. Like, let's go pun crazy. Like, let's really break out the starter's pun gun and like, let's go crazy with puns. I'm fine with that. But like, when you get to the nicknames, it's like, oh, what should Kobe Bryant's nickname be? And my thought is, his name is Kobe. Like, he doesn't have a name you're going to confuse with anybody else in the league. So why does he need a nickname? Now, clearly, he feels he needs a nickname because he's given himself one every 6 months. Like, it's Black Mamba and then it's Vino and who knows what else it'll be for moving forward. But like I just – there's so few instances where I'm like, that dude needs a nickname. Like, that – like, it just – like, that's what drives me crazy.
I think the difference is that you think of them as nicknames and I think of them as monikers, and there is a slight differential in that a nickname is like, instead of calling you Joseph, I'll call you Joe or sure. something like that. Or like Jose Juan Barea goes by JJ.
Sure.
Right? That's a nickname.
That's just efficient. That's all that is.
Right. Right. A moniker instead, it takes players from a stylistic standpoint and just from a legendary, because these players, like, we're all like caught up in like the story of the NBA, and it assigns some sort of entertainment, kind of almost mythological structure to them, right? Like, that's, I think, to me is why I like nicknames, is because it creates this kind of persona about them that goes beyond just their name. Like, when Paul Pierce shoots 4 of 14 from the field for 10 points and 4 rebounds. Paul Pierce struggled against the Cavaliers on Thursday. He's dealing with an ankle injury. When Paul Pierce drops 25 and 7 and hits the game-winning pull-up jumper, that's the truth. Like, there's a difference in kind of it. I don't think that great players need a nickname, and I don't even necessarily – but I don't think that, like – I think it's more of a stylistic element, and those are the things that I kind of like.
I mean, there. I don't hate every single nickname. Like, I do like the truth. Well, I liked it more when he was good, but I do. But like, I don't like that one. Is like, that's a good nickname. Like, I'm fine, and it is very subjective. But like, when people are like, "Oh, do you call LeBron James the King or whatever, or King James?" Like, no, I call him LeBron because no one else is named LeBron. Like that. That's unique enough to me. I don't need Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is a unique – it's not – you know, Derrick is not unique and Rose is not that unique. But, like, Derrick Rose put together, like, I don't need to call him anything else. Like, that's fine. Like, do we need a nickname for Jabari Parker? No, because, like, Jabari Smith was the only other guy I could think of with Jabari in his name. Like, I think we're fine there.
So you think nicknames should only be used as a functional use to differentiate between people that you could confuse with someone else?
I think that's a major function. Maybe not the only, but I think that's, like, a major function of, like – There's a difference between like individuality and like forced marketing to me. And to me, like, a lot of nicknames feel like, oh, we need to get this guy marketable. And right. Even like when it's fans like giving the nickname, like Durantula was like here's the perfect example. Durantula was like fine. Like, I wasn't crazy about it, but like, it was fine. It was kind of fun. I liked that Photoshop of Durant on the tarantula. Like, that was fine. But, like, if it was something like the Slim Reaper, like, I actually like that one. Yeah. I like his Instagram name, like, Easy Money Sniper. Like, I like, like, the, like, to me, there's got to be, like, this level of, like, coolness to it.
I agree.
You know? Like, and I feel like most of them are just, like, I'm just like, I guess that's clever.
I had a point about this. Oh, I do have one big thing is I don't like it when they give themselves nicknames. That bothers me to an insane degree. Like Kobe's, that's my biggest problem, is like, you don't get to – no, that's not how this works. You don't get to do that. Like, That's not okay. If you're a superhero, you can name yourself because you want a secret identity. That's fine.
Right.
You are not a secret. I know who you are.
Right. Everyone. Like, you're one of the most recognizable people in the world.
Yeah. This is. You're not fooling everybody, and you're not going into some sort of. Yeah. No. And especially Vino, I hate. I loathe that one even more than Black Mamba.
And I'm mad at Paul George over this PG-13 thing because like that was a pun you could do before, and now he's like making it a reality. I'm like, you've ruined it.
Have you? I like it. I think it's cool. Like, I guess the reason I like it is because I think of its possibilities for it being on a Topps card. Sure. Topps doesn't even make cards anymore.
Is that still a thing?
No, there's another company that – who is it that does it? The photo shoot. God, rookie photo shoot.
Fleer?
No, although Fleer was awesome.
Yeah, Fleer was great. I used to have
Fleer was the best.
Yeah. I was always amazed when they could do like a gold lettering.
Panini! That's the name of it!
Right.
It's panini, and I'm always like, that's a sandwich.
Yeah, that's a sandwich.
I don't know. So, let's go through some nicknames and get your feelings on them.
All right.
And you're going to hate most of them.
And I realize how subjective this is, but I'm cranky like that.
Right, and you don't have to be. Like, you can like or dislike things.
Right.
And there is a list of nicknames used in basketball. Wow. Oh, one thing though, by the way, so a nice differential between the nickname concept and the moniker concept, right, is Derrick Rose's nickname is Pooh.
Sure.
Okay. No one outside of the Chicago writers there trying to ingratiate themselves with him calls him that.
Right.
No one.
Right.
Like, you're never going to be like, ooh, Pooh, because that doesn't sound cool.
This isn't Pooh Jeter. This isn't Pooh Richardson. Like, those were ones that actually stuck with those guys.
Is Melo a nickname?
I feel like it's a shortening.
Yeah.
I don't count Melo as, like, I feel like, in, like, calling Durant KD, like, I know that actually takes, like, Kelly Dwyer is KD to me, but, but, like, a shortening of a name, I don't find that to be necessarily a nickname.
Kelly Dwyer is K-Don to me.
Sure.
So, I got these off of Wikipedia, okay. So there's some crazy-ass ones.
Sure.
Is Jesus Shuttlesworth a nickname?
That's a character.
Okay.
I don't find that to be a nickname. I realize how that's probably – there are probably some people like, you're such a hypocrite. But like to me, like he played – like that. He was a character in a movie. So I don't think Jesus Shuttlesworth is a nickname.
I actually think they should use Sugar Ray more, but I know it's like Leonard. But
right.
Still.
Yeah, like, I like Sugar Ray.
It's been long enough.
Yeah.
Skip to my Lou, obviously.
That was a persona on the court.
Yeah, if it's created in Streetball, is that acceptable?
It depends on the name, but okay. Most of like the older like I find a lot of the newer ones to be really dumb, because it became a thing. It used to be like, oh, you get a nickname for playing a certain way, and then it became like, oh, this is becoming commercialized. We gotta give nicknames to everybody.
All right.
So there is like this line I kind of draw with that.
Birdman, Chris Anderson.
I like Birdman. Yeah, that one I'm cool with because he also, like, I may find Jason Terry entirely annoying, but he at least, like, embraces the Jet
right.
Nickname or moniker, whatever you want to call it, by doing the airplane on the court. And Birdman flaps his wings when he dunks on somebody. I'm into that.
This one actually, a good point, Tiny Archibald. That's a nickname.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Pooh Richardson kind of thing.
Top five for me all time is Agent Zero.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Agent Zero.
You don't like Agent Zero? How do you not like Agent Zero?
I'd much rather call him Hibachi.
That one's good, too.
I like Hibachi.
But Hibachi's not a nickname. That's a catchphrase.
Yeah. I'd still rather call him Hibachi.
This Wikipedia article lists Trevor with an annotation that links to his Wikipedia page.
That shouldn't be allowed.
It says that Trevor Ariza's nickname is Cobra.
I've never heard. I am a huge basketball nerd. I've never heard that in my life.
You don't get to, and if he did this himself, like, or if one of his people did this for him, like, they need to be fired. Like,
right.
You do not get to take the name Cobra.
And if you are one of the like eight people out there who have heard of this before and have referred to him as Cobra, and you want to well actually us on Twitter, please save it. I'm not interested.
The round mound of rebound, I like very much.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
The longer ones from the olden days, I'm very big on. Sir Charles, also very great.
That was great, yeah.
Let's see what else.
I'll tell you what I'm not a huge fan of Chocolate Thunder.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know that's controversial.
That's sacrilege.
I'm not a huge fan of Chocolate Thunder.
Why? It's like the embodiment of 70s funk in basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he really played off that too much. I think he became more of a personality than he was a basketball player, and I think he could have been an all-time basketball player. Maybe I'm just wrong on this. But the older I get, the less I like Chocolate Thunder.
Marco Bellinelli. Belly. That does not count.
That's not a thing.
No. Brent Berry's Bones.
I like Bones. Bones is great.
You got to. The worst one, I think, really, of the last 15 years is Mr. Big Shot. That's the worst one to me.
That's really dumb.
It's inaccurate. It's a terrible it's a terrible moniker. No one uses that phrase anymore.
Right.
It's not representative. Like, it's not really Billup's identity. He was much more of a floor general.
Honestly,
like,
I think that song sucks, by the way.
Yeah, it's not a good song either.
Well, I do like Big Shot Rob.
Yeah, Big Shot Rob is big. He isn't
Big Shot
like that,
Bob, whatever. Yeah, he doesn't like it, but I like it. I think that's why I like it, because he's like, no, screw that. I'm more than that.
I didn't know this. I didn't know why Muggsy was called Muggsy.
I have no idea. I know his real name's Tyrone.
Because he was so adept at stealing, it was like he was mugging you.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. It's Tyrone Bogues, and Muggsy's a nickname. That's a great one.
Yeah, there's an old article. I think you and I talked about this recently, maybe at our summit meeting. But there's an old article about Muggsy Bogues' high school team. I think it's in Slam Magazine, an older episode of Slam, issue of Slam, but it was about him and like Reggie Lewis. It's a phenomenal article if you can look it up.
Chris Bosh, this says CB4, and I don't remember anyone calling him that post Toronto.
No, it died when he went to Miami.
This one lists Jimmy Butler as Jimmy Buckets, which I assume is ironic.
There is one Buckets in the history of basketball, and it sure as hell is not Jimmy Butler.
What do you think of Doug McDermott, though? I really like McBuckets.
I like playing off the Mick. Yeah. I like that.
The Custodian is like, that's got to be top 10 all time for Brian Cardinal.
Yeah, that's kind of like that. I never really thought of him with a nickname. Like, I know it was a thing. Yeah, I guess that's it in that, like, the mayor for Fred Hoiberg situation. I'm fine with that. Okay.
I will go with you on this one. Vince Carter doesn't need a nickname.
No, that's another thing. Like, some guys, their game and their existence in the game of basketball, like, just transcends needing a nickname. Like, you can say, oh, Vinsanity, or oh, Half Man, Half Maze, and all that crap. Like, he was just Vince Carter to me.
Yes, and like Vinsanity and Half Man, Half Amazing, those are like, again, those are not catchphrases, but like name, like phrases associated with him. Like when he does something insane, that is Vinsanity.
Right. And like Half Man, Half Amazing was also like that was a streetball player in New York. Like that was a guy. And then like, oh, that was so cool. That was such a cool nickname. Oh, Vince Carter's amazing. Let's give that to him too. Like, and there's that idea that you can't double up nicknames. Like Antoine Carr was Big Dog, and then Glenn Robinson was Big Dog. And it's like that, like you will have, there are actually camps of both sides that are like clash over that, which is a weird thing that's a weird thing to have in existence.
Wilt Chamberlain's are maybe the most dated. Wilt the Stilt and the Big Dipper.
Yeah, the Big Dipper. Especially,
you know what the Big Dipper is allegedly from?
I was going to make a joke that would probably not go over well.
I should have kept talking and not asked you that question. I should have given you the opportunity to fill in that blank. It's like Gozer with Ghostbusters. Because as a child, he had to dip his head after hitting it on a doorframe.
Oh, that's much more family friendly.
Yeah, much, much better.
Yeah.
Speedy Claxton?
Yeah, because no one really knew him as Craig, right?
Yeah, but that's one where like it becomes so endemic where that's just like you have to be fine with the ones that wind up replacing their name, especially when they just go by it. Right,
right. That's fine. Like Muggsy, Tiny, like those ones on Pooh. Like I'm fine with those.
Bimbo Coles.
God, I don't even know if I know his real name.
It's Vernal.
That's right.
That's the only case in which Bimbo is an improvement.
Right. Right. That's just a weird nickname to get.
Right. Somebody lists Stephen Curry as the Golden Boy, and that's simply not accurate. I will say at this point, it drives me crazy that our CMS system does not recognize Steph Curry and only recognizes Stephen, making me nuts. Oh, we got to get them to change that.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. I'm out on Splash Brothers. It's got to go.
I found out that apparently their PR department was the one that there's a guy that claims that he invented it. I thought it was the internet, but maybe it was this guy. I started seeing it early, right? Just because there's so many people that play Smash Brothers, it kind of evolved. It's just too far. When Lacob used it the other day, your nickname cannot be something that your own. And honestly, PR people tell this. Like, tell your owners, do not use the player's nickname. It instantly makes them uncool.
Right.
Like, there's no coming back from that. When Lacob was like, "We're really excited about the Splash Brothers," I was like, "Nope. All right, that's it. It's over. Like, go back and trade him." Like, just trade him now and end it. Big Baby. That's a tough one.
Yeah, because I can't think of the last time I referred to him as Glenn Davis.
Yeah.
That's kind of one where that took over. Like, all right, there a good one that just came to mind is, like, Plastic Man. I like that one. That one I was cool with.
Ricky Davis has two listings under here.
Okay.
The first is Ricky Buckets.
All right, well, that's kind of, it's kind of Ricky. I mean, it's more Get Buckets, but yeah, Ricky Buckets is fine.
And the second one is Wrong Rim Ricky.
That's not a thing. All right, this is going to make me sound like a massive prick, but we have a lot of those instances on the podcast. I get it. Like, he tried the triple-double on the opposing basket. Anytime I bring him up, like, to me, like, bringing that up as, like, if I bring up Ricky Davis on Twitter and I start getting those responses, to me that's the same thing of, like, hey, Ashton Kutcher and Kyle Korver look alike. Like, at this point, like, we get it. Like, I think we're on, like, beyond that joke. There's plenty to make fun of Ricky Davis for. Like, at this point, like, that doesn't need to be your first reference.
I think it's hard for people to really have an understanding of how depressingly obsessive about the game you and I are.
That's fair.
Like, that's one of the things that I run into a lot, because I'm like, yeah, because I'm not aware of that. I only cover the NBA for a living. And then, like, I stepped back one day and thought about how that's got to sound to, like, a casual person on the street. Like, if I did that to just somebody that on the, like, if I went to my dry cleaners and we were having a conversation and then somebody brought that up and I pulled that where I was like, well, yeah, obviously. Like, how much of a dick would I look like?
Right. And I recognize just how prickish that last statement was. But, like, there is a certain level. I'm just like, I get it. Like, I know. I'm going to get 9 of these. Like, I get it.
You really should just change it and make it and just, like, accept it. You should just be like, don't try and criticize Ricky Davis to me. Just don't do it.
Get an 8-mile him. Get ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I take that back. That's what I'm going to do. It's on me.
Clyde the Glide is top 10, too.
That's a great one. Yeah.
And it rhymes. That's awesome.
Yeah, rhyming helps. It is a little tricky because Clyde Frazier existed before him, but yeah, it was for a different reason.
Duncans are proof of how tremendously boring he is as a persona. Yeah. Like, again, I think Tim Duncan is a fascinating individual, and that it's a tragedy we're never going to get a book on him because he'll never agree to it. But the big fundamental is, like, that was used.
That's the only one I can think of, because didn't Shaq give that to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of for him.
Which is kind of an insult, and not surprisingly, from
right,
Shaq.
Right.
So, Slam Dunkin'. I remember that one being used in the early 2000s.
Maybe that was a Wake Forest thing, even.
Which is like, yeah, because he's known for his emphatic dunks.
Right, yeah. I'm not in on this.
TD, we've talked about, that doesn't count. Yeah. Timmy D, that doesn't count. That's just a change of his name. Old Man Riverwalk, no.
I've never heard that in my life.
KD, we did talk about that, and I'm in on Slim Reaper as well. I know that he doesn't like it because of the death connotation, but it's just very him.
Well, it's not hypocritical considering his Instagram name is, like, Easy Money Sniper. I don't know a whole lot of snipers that are not involved with death.
He shoots rainbows at people.
Sure, that's what it is.
He's the Care Bear Sniper.
Oh, if we can get that going. If Ricky Rubio ever gets a great jump shot, he's Care Bear Sniper.
This one is close to just being a name change, but I gotta say, it's still top 10. Dr. J.
Yeah, like, that just became him. I'm cool with that.
One of the best in the game today is honestly Manimal.
I do like that.
It's accurate. It's a moniker. Like he talks about it, like he'll say sometimes like that was the Manimal, and you want to laugh at him, and he laughs at it a little bit. But it's also like that's how nuts Kenneth Faried is when he gets on the court.
Sure.
That guy is crazy. Yeah, Derek Fisher, D Fish. No, just no.
No, none of those shortenings like that. That's not okay.
This is when you can play with almost anybody and be like, NBA nickname, wrestler moniker, Stevie Franchise.
I like Stevie Franchise. I just like Steve Francis a lot when he was a player. Steve Franchise
like
is okay.
His game more than most like needs a nickname. Like that's one. Like Tim Duncan's game needs to not have a nickname.
Right. If anything, it says like, "Don't give me a nickname."
Yeah.
Like I don't need one.
He should go by Timothy.
Right.
You know, Clyde Frazier is also good. Obviously.
Yeah, Clyde's great.
World Be Free.
What is his real name? Lloyd?
Yes, correct. Very good.
Lloyd Bernie or something like that. Free. Yeah, I will be free because that was his name. Like, that was his persona, so that's fine.
I'm not even going to mention the ones that are listed under mine, Ginobili, because they're so painful. I don't even want them. I like the Polish Hammer quite a bit.
I don't like that one.
Is Gortat good enough to warrant it? That's the question.
Well, the thing for me is his name is Marcin Gortat.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not Polish. What if that name's really common?
I'm sure it's wildly common in Poland. But like to me, like he's not playing in the Poland league.
Let's see. Hold on. Polish Yellow Pages. Marcin Gortat. That did not work. AC Green is Iron Man. Please do not call Jeff Green that.
No. I don't call either of them that. I don't care if he has the record. No, that's not a thing.
The Uncle Jeff thing was given by teammates. I just don't think it works for anybody else to use it.
Right. I'm cool. Like, if your teammate gives you a nickname and that becomes a thing, that's fine.
Rip Hamilton.
I did like Rip Hamilton. Okay. You're giving a lot of the ones I'm fine with.
I know. Maybe you should think about that. top. This is up there all time. I don't know the number, but it's up there. Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, his grandma gave him that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandma gave it to him. It came to embody a concept. It spawned off Lil Penny. Like, yeah,
that's untouchable.
Yeah, that one is legendary. Hondo.
Hondo, what was it? It was a John Wayne thing?
Yeah, Havlicek's interest in Western novels and looking like John Wayne.
That sounds like a teammate-given nickname. I'm cool with that.
I did not know this. Tommy Heinsohn was a gunner.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, he shot all the time.
You know, his nickname was Ak-Ak.
What?
His name was Ak-Ak, which is the sound of machine gun. That's whatever, like, that's...
Oh, I thought it was just like the Kathy cartoon.
No. That's a dated reference. Wow. By the way, there's no annotation on this. It just says George Hill, sexy. That's it.
That has to be like that whole nude photo fiasco he went through.
I like Grant Hill is just G or G Money. Like no one uses those. Grant Hill. Like, Grant Hill is iconic.
That's horrible.
It's funny to me that Lionel Hollins was known as the L Train.
I thought Lionel Simmons was the L Train.
This one lists Hollins. Maybe it's wrong. Kirk Heinrich being known as Captain Kirk.
No.
Not really.
No, I hate that.
Bottom five all time is Dwight Howard's Superman. Although he is
Does
more,
anybody call him that?
Although he is more like... I will maintain this. He is more like Superman than Shaq ever was in terms of his personality. Again, Serge Ibaka, don't say it. But like, Ibaka is a pun. That's fine, but it's not a nickname.
Right. Serge is a pun.
Iggy does not count.
No, Zeke that's a shortening.
Uncle Drew does not count. It's that would be like me calling LeBron one of his LeBron monikers, which no one remembers.
Hey, LeBron puppet.
Yeah, or no? Like I'm talking about the old school commercials where he was the four LeBrons,
right?
Which was a cartoon series which I reviewed four episodes of because I have lots of time. The Answer. How good is The Answer?
Yeah, The Answer was great. That was great.
AI, I understand that AI is just his initials, but it also worked extremely well in terms of artificial intelligence. Like,
sure.
I like that a lot. Matrix, very good. No,
Matrix. No, it's fine. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a great nickname.
I like Matrix a lot because he can do everything, and I don't think of it from like everyone associated with the movies. But I'm like, no, it's like if you make a table of what he can do, it's huge.
Yeah.
Stupidest LeBron nickname: the Akron Hammer.
I really dislike that.
Yeah, that one's really bad. Is Captain Jack necessary for Steven Jackson?
I like it, but I like everything about Steven Jackson.
That's interesting that one you like. That's interesting.
That's strictly a hit, like his personality. Like, if he had never said, "I make love to pressure," I probably would hate it.
That's true. People are going to scream if I don't mention this, but I mean, Magic is Magic. Like,
yeah, that's just
that's probably number one all time.
Right.
That's,
how many people refer to him as Urban?
Like, yeah, that's the number one nickname in the NBA of all time. I'm going to be completely hypocritical here because I just said Uncle Drew doesn't count, but I do like Grandmama.
Yeah, no, that Grandmama was great. I'm in on that.
And maybe people are like, maybe the kids, the younger folks, are going to actually like. They're going to think of Uncle Drew. The way I think of Grandmama.
I don't think it's that good of a marketing campaign.
I don't either. It's like they're old. Okay. The microwave, it's like, oh, it's surprising because they can take these guys off the dribble and they're old. I'm like, well, you could just put him on the court and he would do that anyway.
Right, exactly.
The microwave, I don't feel should be, I know it's Vinnie Johnson, but
I love it.
See, but I feel like there's so many guys you could use. I feel like that should be like a description of a player. Like, that should be a role. Like,
I think his teammates gave him that, though.
That's true.
But no, I agree. Like, Nick Young is the new microwave for me.
Damon Jones' nickname is the world's greatest shooter.
He hacked into Wikipedia.
From the book, from a 2008 book, The Great Book of Cleveland Sports Lists.
Oh, my God.
I have to buy this. So here's the weird thing about Jordan, right? Like, Air Jordan, his airness, obviously MJ doesn't count.
Really, I think his airness is a stupid name.
Yeah, it's stupid. And, like, there's no player that needs it less than Michael Jordan.
Right.
Like,
and
that's his common name. Like,
right. Air Jordan was, that was a marketing thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been like, look at Air Jordan go. You know, like, it's just Michael Jordan.
The Rain Man's pretty good.
The Rain Man's phenomenal. I can't.
You like a lot of the older ones.
Yeah, I like the newer ones. I'm just not into.
Fat Lever.
Oh, I love Fat.
Lynn Sanity, again, is a concept, not a nickname.
Yeah, that was a 3-week run.
Someone said, and apparently on here, Super Lintendo. No, that does not count.
Don't ever say that again.
Thunder Dan is pretty good.
Thunder Dan's great.
The Mailman.
Mailman's great.
Pistol Pete.
Yes.
Starbury.
I find that to be really stupid.
Whoa!
I'm not. His name is Stephon Marbury.
You just think it should just be Stephon Marbury?
Yes. I think Starbury is a really, really stupid nickname.
I don't know if the X-Man for Xavier McDaniels counts or not.
That's what I always referred to him as, but I don't know. I think that has nothing to do with X-Men.
Antonio McDice being Dice.
That's a shortening. I know it's spelled differently, but that's just a shortening.
What if it's not, though?
Maybe he's a great craps player.
Yeah, he's a great craps player.
Maybe he's really good at Yahtzee.
It's surprising that T-Mac doesn't have another one. I mean, T-Mac is also not a nickname.
He should have been nicknamed McBuckets.
Yeah, he really should have been.
Let's retroactive. When we invent time travel, that'll be the first thing we take care of. We'll go to that ABCD camp when he was 17, be like, hey, by the way, this kid's name is McBuckets.
We are gifted with time travel. We can change anything about the world, and you and I are going back to the ABCD camp to rename Racing McGrady.
Yes, that is step one in our time traveling.
Earl the Pearl.
That's a phenomenal nickname. He also I like Black Jesus better.
Yeah. Zoe is not a nickname.
That's shortening. Yeah.
Mount Matumbo, I don't really count.
Is there a Mount Matumbo in the world?
Yeah, no. I don't know where it comes from, but Flip Murray is another one of those Rip Hamilton ones, or Bimbo Coles, where like it just replaced his name.
Yeah, I don't. I almost nobody referred to him as Ronald.
Steve Nash had Captain Canada and Hair Canada, and those are both horrific.
No, he didn't.
No.
No.
Candyman Lamar Odom's pretty good.
I know he likes
and also
candy.
Better than, and also better than. Oh, never mind. I should make that joke.
I kind of feel like, well, Oloa Candy was Candyman to me. But that's just his short name. It's also stupid, but...
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you Shaq nicknames. And on a scale of 1 to 5, I want you to rate how you consider them. 1 being, with 5 being awesome, I love it. And 1 being, I would literally punch someone if it would make this go away.
Okay.
Shaq doesn't count. It's just a short name.
Right.
Shaq Daddy.
1.
Shaq Fu.
I like the Fu Schnickens Shaq Fu combination. I'm going to go 4 on that one. That's a strong 4, yeah. And it's against everything I believe in, but I was a huge Shaq fan at that point.
Did you play the video game?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Diesel?
2.
See, and I'm big on Diesel, because that to me is like he was a truck.
Yeah.
He was a big-ass truck.
I'll change it to a 3. It's in the middle for me.
The big Aristotle.
1.
Superman.
1.
MDE.
1.
The Big Maravich.
I've never even heard of that. That's a 0.
The Big Fella.
No, 1.
The Big Shactus.
1.
The Big Cordially.
This is just not... Did he start putting these into Wikipedia? That's a 1.
And the Big Shamrock.
That's a 1. I think we're finding out with the turn for me in history of basketball where this nickname thing happened.
Okay. Probably right behind Magic is the Dream.
Yeah, Hakeem the Dream is just great.
It rhymes. Yeah. Rhyming is, I think, is important.
Yeah, rhyming definitely helps.
Smush.
What's his real name, William?
It's only listed as Smush. Smush Barker's nickname is Smush.
I think it's William, but I'm not. Now I don't know.
Yeah, it's William Henry. He should just go. Bill Parker's pretty good. He should just gone by that.
Yeah.
Do the initials with the number count? I don't think they do.
I don't like that.
CP3 doesn't count.
I'll refer to Chris Paul as CP3 in a shortening if I'm sick of writing Paul, but I'm not a big fan.
I had no idea about this. The Chief for Robert Parrish. Do you know where that comes from?
Oh, isn't it the Nicholson movie? The one
Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. After the mute, expressionless character in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's just an honor.
The Glove is probably number 3.
Glove's great. I like that. Although it led to, I think it was, maybe it was Jerry Reynolds, the Kings color commentator. And this is a long time, this is like during the Jason Williams days, but... I think either he referred to Jason Williams or Tariq Abdul-Ahed as, like, if Gary Payton's the glove, then this guy is the stitching inside the glove or something. That led to a really stupid, like, line that I remember on a local broadcast probably 12 years ago.
Chuck Person, the Rifleman, which you would never get that nickname.
Never get, but it also led to, like, one of the greatest posters of all time. I'm all in on the Rifleman.
The Truth, we've talked about.
Truth is great.
We'll get through these. Vanilla what? Gorilla, that's high for me.
I hate that.
Why?
I just hate it. I think it's stupid.
What is your reason? Because it is awful.
Because it's awful.
Zeebo.
I like Zeebo. I like that. It fits him.
Big Country.
No, oh, I hate that.
Why?
He sucked.
That's why, because he wasn't good enough to...
You suck. You shouldn't get a nickname.
Pooh Richardson, we've talked about. It's endemic.
Right.
Doc Rivers.
Same thing, right? People just call him Doc.
The Admiral.
I like that. The Navy tie-in. I'm in on that.
Yeah. A little weird, because he wasn't, but... because he wasn't an Admiral. Right. Big Dog Robinson.
I don't want to get in trouble with the Antoine Carr people, so I'm gonna take the 5th on this one.
See, I only think of Antoine Carr. I only hear it because I remember in like the Final 4 and like, yeah, let the big dog eat. That's all I remember.
Yeah, like if you put it like that, I like that.
Nate Robinson is Nate Rob or Nate Robinson. Do not call him Crypto Nate.
Never refer to him as that. That's a one.
Does the Big O count?
Oscar?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't like that. I don't like the Big O.
Coming from the James Thurber story, The Disappearing O.
You're saying words I don't understand.
This is probably five for me all time, is The Worm.
Oh, I love The Worm. I like almost anything about Dennis Rodman, though.
And it's from for his wriggling when he played pinball.
Oh, that I didn't know.
According to Basketball's Most Wanted, the top 10 book of hoops, outrageous dunkers, incredible buzzer beaters, and other odysseys.
I think I have that. I think there are a bunch of different like publications of that throughout the years. I think I have one.
Tree Rollins.
People just called him Tree, right? What's his name? Yeah. Wayne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another one of those. Although if you say tree, the thing I immediately think of is the
Groot.
I heard someone quote this one a long time ago, that someone asked Kevin Garnett who was the toughest, the strongest guy in the NBA, and he said Duncan, despite their feud. Like, he said Duncan. He said it's like trying to guard a tree.
I like
that. D Rose is not one. No.
No, that's not a thing.
This is Brandon Roy, who's called The Rain.
Never heard that in my life.
It's from IStillLikeLeBron.com.
So it's a reputable source.
Reputable source. John Sally was called Spider.
That I remember. I like Spider.
Satch Sanders.
Ooh, I like Satch. Satch is just a cool name. You put Satch on anybody, I'm cool.
This is the one that's going to drive away your followers. There's going to be a lot of people upset about this. We already talked about the Kobe nickname and how you really can't give yourself one. What about the offshoots? What about White Mamba?
Get out of here.
Even a starter? Not even a conversation for you.
I'm not even going to pretend to discuss it as a thing. No.
Wow. Dennis Scott being called 3D.
I like that because I like shooters.
I feel like 3D is somebody else will come along and be called that.
Sure, eventually. Yeah.
I think I could tell how you're going to feel about this, but Jace Move.
I hate it. I hate it so much. There's nothing smooth about his game.
There's nothing about Josh Smith that you would say is like he could own a car, like his mom, like everything. Like, hate it. All right, who's the Jet?
Well, I know Kenny Smith was the Jet, but I think Jason Terry's initials are Jet.
Yeah, I always think of it this way: there's Kenny the Jet Smith, and there's Jet Terry, and yeah. Jet Terry is in all caps.
I think that's an important distinction. I'm in.
Rick Smith's, I don't think it needs the fly. There's two people on this list that have the Flying Dutchman as their nickname, and neither one needs it. It's a bad reference. It's outdated.
Right.
Like, we can use it now. And also, Rick Smith was just, he was known enough as it was. Spree for Spreewell. Does that count?
That's a shortening. No.
Okay. Born Ready.
I'm not, no.
No!
I don't like it. Because we found out he wasn't born ready. He had actually a lot of work to do.
I kind of like it because of how ridiculous it is that his friends gave him this nickname when he was like 16, and they set up a website already for him. Like, he had a website when he was a prep kid.
Right.
Standing tall and talented stat.
I don't like that at all.
You don't like that one? I like that one.
I hate it. I like him. I hate that nickname.
Zeke for Isaiah Thomas. Does that count?
Is that a shortening? I think I think that's like a nickname for Isaiah in the same way like Dick is for Richard.
I was just about to say, it's the Richard Dick thing, which makes me crazy. I'm always like, why would you – like, who in their right mind was like, let's shorten Richard to Dick?
Or Chuck Charles. I don't get that either.
Yeah. The Babyfaced Assassin was another one for Isaiah, but
it's too many syllables.
Another one you couldn't get away with today, the Boston Strangler.
Andrew Toney would not be well received in today's NBA.
Not going to get away with that. Tractor.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah. Hedo is not.
No.
Because it's just like, your name is Hedaya, because this. Nick the Quick is very good.
I like Nick the Quick. I also love, I like everything about Nick Van Exel.
So, do you like Nick Van Excellent?
No. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that again.
How about Nasty Nick?
No. That sounds like we're getting into a genre that I'm not comfortable discussing on the podcast.
1990s. We went there earlier. 1990s NBA flashback is what that's from.
Sure.
Anderson Varejao was apparently called Wild Thing.
I remember that. I don't like it.
Do any of the Wade ones hit with you? Are they all misses?
I liked Flash back when I wouldn't call him Flash, but I like that was okay. I didn't mind that. The three thing has gotta go.
Yeah, that's just him.
D Wade's just a shortening, so I don't.
He said that I was there when he said that, and I was like, no.
You should have just shaken. You should have just said try again.
No. This Big Ben for Ben Wallace, because it's referring like it's a clock reference.
Yeah, I never understood the reference. I think it's just like, oh, Ben, he's big, Big Ben. That's a thing.
I'm very big on this one. I'm very big on Crash.
I like Crash because that's how he played. He would just slam into the people.
Yeah, like the stanchion often.
Right.
Hurt himself.
Or Andrew Bynum's forearm.
The logo isn't really fair for Jerry West because that wasn't what he was called when he was playing.
Right. Like, well, he was like Mr. Clutch back then or something like that.
Yeah.
He had one that was weird. I remember he had a weird nickname that I read in a book somewhere and I never...
Zeke from Cabin Creek.
That's what it is! I don't agree with it, but I'm very intrigued.
Does everyone just get nicknamed as Zeke? Can I nickname myself? Is it like, well, it's Matthew, but I go for Zeke for short.
My friends call me Zeke.
This one we're probably going to be divided on. What do you think of the Human Highlight film?
I like it. I can't argue with that. It's a little too long. It's a little awkward, but I do like it.
I like it in the same way that like it's one of those things that you would buy the video cassette of the Dominique Wilkins Human Highlight film. Like it's very
right.
It's extremely 1980s.
It's great marketing.
White Chocolate.
I'm in on everything Jason Williams.
Everything. Luckily, there's not another one here. Yao doesn't need one. I agree. Like
what?
There's only one.
Oh, weren't people calling like the Great Wall or something like that?
The Great Wall.
That just seems racially motivated.
Well, the other one was Chairman Yao, and I'm like,
I wouldn't go there.
Chinese, not so much. We don't need to. I know how you feel about Swaggy P. It's fine.
He's got a lifetime pass.
So that's
my favorite one, which you didn't. This is an old one. Dale Ellis was nicknamed Lamar Mundane. And I love that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that one I love.
Red Auerbach's pretty good.
Red's not bad. That's a good one.
Zen Master.
And then the other one, I don't like that. I don't like Zen Master.
I think it's
stupid.
Yeah.
And then the other one that comes to mind was Purvis Ellison.
Yeah.
And not that I don't care about his never nervous Purvis nickname. It's my dad. Nicknamed him, or I don't know if my dad might maybe stole it from someone, but he always called him Never in Service Purvis. That I liked.
I think we actually had a productive conversation about nicknames. I think you may like them more than you realize.
I like the old ones. The new ones, unless you're a gunner, I'm not a fan.
Can we negotiate something for where I can call Anthony Bennett Big Daddy Canada? What do I have to negotiate? What do I have to give you?
That's just too. It's too long.
No, it's great. It's great. It's perfect on every level. Like, he looks like a Big Daddy. He is from Canada. It's perfect.
Maybe like the Big Mountie or something, but that's as far as I'll go.
No, Big Daddy, it rolls off the tongue.
What about Big Poutine?
The Big A?
You know there's gravy involved.
Oh, those are, actually, it should be the Big A, because it sounds like A. But in fact,
oh, I get it. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
See?
But Big Daddy Canada is not going to happen. Not on
the
my
worst
watch.
The worst one I ever used for the first year of Paroxysm's existence, I only referred to Kevin Garnett as El Tigre Monstruoso for no reason. That was the only thing I would call him is El Tigre Monstruoso.
I'm not crazy. Like, I liked the Big Ticket, but that was it. People called him the Kid for a while, but that's just because he was a high school kid.
Yeah. Speaking of, you guys should check it out. I wrote a big thing about Duncan and Garnett.
Yes,
and
very much.
What it's going to be like if this is their last season, which I do. I had to hedge because I don't want to look any more stupid than I normally do, but I do believe this is going to be the last one. What else are we doing? Oh, we're doing coaches next week. Big coaching features next week.
If big you guys coaching like thing. Stuff. Yeah, and we may see a return of the rabbit hole tomorrow. FYI, a little teaser there.
You should go with the nicknames and do cross-platform branding, hashtag marketing, hashtag synergy on this thing.
That sounds like a lot of work, but that may return Friday.
So.
All right.
Thanks,
Zach.